From the great halls of their house, there are assembled three who hope to one day be the world's greatest driving heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe comes our team captain, the Vision, Bill Fisher. Their soon-to-be Wonder Woman, Vicky Fisher. Our Captain Marvel and head flight trainee, Jennifer Scripchuk. And our Batman, the master of tools, gadgets, and all things mechanical, our mild-mannered soon-to-be billionaire, Alan Danvers. Their mission, to fight injustice, share what is right and wrong, to get you out of your house and come out racing with them, and serve all mankind. They are the Garage Heroes in Training Team.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
Miss Vicky.
Yes, sir.
You know what?
What?
You know, I've been thinking about this Sentinel system.
Yeah? Tell me about the Sentinel system.
So what I was thinking was, we have the one car that's got the aim dash that's slowing us down. Because installing the aim dash is actually, it probably is easy, but it's quite hard the first time. And we haven't figured that out yet. The Sentinel system is really easy to set up. So what I was thinking was, why don't we put it in the Lemon's car? And we'll worry about the aim data information separately. And we'll kind of break it down into a project. Because then we'd have the motorsports video system that we really, really want. And we'd be able to stream it. We just won't have the data inside. But we have the data outside, so we can combine them later. But I think that's a really good solution.
So what does this Sentinel system do?
Well, if it had the aim data, it would have all the data on the screen and you could see all their telemetry and everything live. But we'd be able to not only record it for viewing after the race, but we could actually watch our car during the race.
Ooh, like on the monitor and everything?
On a monitor. If you were at home and I was at a track, or if you were at the track and I was at home, you know, depends on who gets the short straw, but we'd be able to watch each other.
You know, it's something I've always wanted to do.
And you know what? If you're driving, you know what you can do on the aim, on the Sentinel system?
What's that?
You can communicate to me with your hands and I can't do a thing about it.
Even better.
So, you know, if you need to give a wave or a jersey wave, whatever you need, we could save it and see it on the screen. And then you can have up to three different cameras and it'll have picture in picture. You'll have the basic main shot out the front window and then two cameras where you put them wherever you want. One could be on the driver or one could be on the rear view. It's kind of cool.
Then we can upload it onto YouTube.
We could. We could bore millions of people on YouTube.
I love it.
All right. Very well. You know what the only downside I see about this?
What?
Your mom and my mom are going to be panic stricken the entire weekend watching this thing to see if everything's going well.
This is true.
We probably shouldn't tell them.
I like the idea of having a Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily we have maybe two. Depends on how things go. We're going to try. All right. That sounds like a plan. That's the project. We got to get that ready for the next race.
Sounds great.
All right. Very well. Thank you, ma'am. If only I had somebody I could talk to about racing jargon, because I heard some and I think I know what it means, but I don't know for sure. Who could I call?
You need a buddy. You need a buddy who's like a reference person, somebody who's willing to listen.
Uh-huh.
Somebody who's heard your cacophonous voice before and is still willing to speak with you. Who would that be?
I don't know. There's got to be somebody, though. Somebody dumb. Well, somebody who's willing to listen to me.
Dumb Dawson. Dummy Dawson.
There it is.
There he is. He's here.
We're on our latest episode of Dumbing with Dawson.
He said his name three times and he appears.
That's right. Mr. Dawson.
Yeah.
This is probably the most technical jargon that we are ever going to go through.
Oh, man. Okay.
Ready? You ready?
Yeah. You only hit me.
I believe these two terms are interchangeable.
Okay.
But I wanted to make sure so I didn't get the wrong way and didn't use it in the wrong context. So
one of these better be.
Nope. That's a different podcast. That's the other one where we actually make money. Because this racing stuff is just a pit. We just keep throwing money and ain't getting any out.
We're not making anything cheesy or sebaceous over here.
No, but Dude, I can't even spell sebaceous. Anyway, that's a type of plant for those playing the home game. No, it's not. Anyway, all right, Ben, you ready for this?
Yes.
This could challenge you. I believe these are the same again. So I'm trying to preface this. So I could be totally just backwards.
Is this gonna be Clag and Marbles?
Nope. Different. Oh, this is racing. Okay. Racing. Ready?
Okay. All right. Well, no, Clag and Marbles are racing.
Yes, they are.
Oh, what you got? What you got?
All right. So here it is. What is a try hard racer and what is a real racer? And are they the same?
Oh, man.
I do not believe real racer was used in the context of a complimentary connotation.
So you're talking, the real racer is the one that Jay in the Lemons drivers meeting is always like the SCCA guy with a thousand yard stare guy.
Yes. The sunglasses and, you know, the suit folded around his waist and, you know, yeah.
I feel like what you just did to me is you came up to me in the prison lunch line and you grabbed my jumpsuit before I realized what was going on with one hand, and the other hand you're shiving me in the side. Because when you said try hard racer, I get some speeches from my team like Ben, hey, we're trying to stay off the curbs this race. We see jumping a lot out there. Can you just get off? You know what I mean? Like I'm definitely sometimes that guy. I feel bad. So I'm not sure I'm the person who can speak about this. Like I mostly just want to leave the room because I feel like you're talking right to me. What do you
so Ben, while you're here, I'd like to welcome to the podcast Reed and Danielle.
exactly like
your life, Ben.
Yeah, I feel like somebody's gonna come around the corner like, we got you. I want to hear from you about these terms. What do they mean to you?
To me, I don't think everybody on the SCCA is a problem. I don't think anybody at anywhere is a problem. Everybody. But there's a line, and everybody's got their own demarcation of the line. There's a line where you have lost the fun and sport.
Yep.
And have become, I'm going to beat myself, a jackass. And you've gone to the dark side, and you need to come back just a little bit, just a little bit.
You know, it's funny that we just jokingly use the SCCA reference, because the one SCCA race I did this, they were doing these bracket enduro races. They were trying to get going in the market with endurance racing, so they did these bracket racing. And so I went there, and we had to get our cage drilled. They had to do all these special SCCA procedures to make sure our stuff was okay to race, and all of it sounded like it was going to be pulling teeth, but all of the SCCA people that I dealt with were very enthusiastic to be there. They were happy to see us and all our Jakey cars. They were super happy we were there, and they were really into racing. So I just used them as an example of people who were into racing, who were there and were just very happy to see other folks doing it, and were very excited. So I've seen a lot of esprit de corps with my experience with SCCA, but I've also seen, you know, some people with SCCA, like some of the officials who are just like super into the one thing they had to do, like, I've got these orange gloves on, I'm in charge, like just sort of the side of the sport you're talking about, where people sort of lost sight of the fun and are just down, completely down with the function or just doing it or whatever. So
I've seen a few of those people in the Lemons race.
Yeah, have you?
And I'm like, why are you here?
So when you talk about that kind of, without naming any names, what kind of thing are you talking about that sort of typifies this person? Somebody who's there with concern too much about their position in the race?
So I'm gonna do my Jeff Foxworthy thing. You might be a real racer if every sentence that you start with after contact says, I had the line.
Okay. So I don't hear that kind of thing that much anymore. So I may be out of touch with that. But is that common where you are?
No, it's not common.
That's good. Good.
No, I'm just trying to jokingly bring it back to most of us. Anybody who listens to this podcast, because I can't imagine anybody who does, is going to make their living from their driving and racing skills. So it's supposed to be fun, guys.
It is. I don't know how much I've talked about this on our pod before, but you know, my first racing iteration was racing Briggs and Stratton flathead motor carts. You know, we were racing slicks on dirt, and I got obsessed with it. You know, if I went out there and didn't win the race in my class, I felt like somebody took it from me. I was no fun. I'm sure I was no fun to be around at the track. I was a like a basket of nerves all the time, and, you know, just obsessing all the time over, like, you know, I would change my rear end ratio, my sprocket, like 30 times a day at the track, like just always change. You know what I mean? It got to be a nightmare. It got to be no fun. And my routines all got to be so obsessive. So at least that was my version of this. When I sold out of all my karting stuff, I said, I'm going to get a Miata and just start doing some track events and autocross and do that. I said, I'm getting out of this because I'm not having any fun doing it anymore. And I was too obsessive about it. So that's my own version of this. And I was definitely way too much of a tryhard at that time.
But there's, I don't want to get it wrong. Like when we're driving, right? I think you as well. We are trying to do the very best we can. We are trying to improve. Sure. We're trying to compete. We're trying to, you know, if it's our little Honda versus Amanda's BMW, we know she's going to pass us, but we're going to try to make it a little hard, or we're going to try to stay with her as long as we can, or whatever we can do. But there's the line, and well before the line is the red mist line. That's also somewhat related to this.
Yeah.
Of, I'm not going to do anything I can to keep her behind me or anybody behind me. Or
I think I understand. So generally the topic we're talking about, the try hard driver or the real racer, which I guess in this instance, it sounds like it's probably the same person. It might be the same person on different ends of the weekend, but it all sounds like it's not ideal. You know, we are all out there trying to do the best we can, but we're all out there, you know, compete as hard as we can, but we're doing it with a caveat. I'm doing it with a handful of caveats. And when I say caveat, I mean the warning in my head. I don't know if everybody uses that term, but a caveat, it just means like, this is the thing that's always cautioning me in my head. And, you know, I've always got in the back of my mind that we're all out here doing this, but we all have people that love us at home. You know what I mean? I don't mean to get on the soapbox, but you know, I'm going to try hard, but I'm not going to do something that's going to push this guy off the track. Nope. You know, or I'm not going to get in there and make none of this is serious enough that I need to get in there and maybe touch their car while I'm trying to pass them. I'm always got time. If I can earn that pass, if I've showed up at their back door and I can earn the pass, I got time to do it right. You know, so those are the things that are in the back of my mind. So yeah, we're out there and we're playing hard, but you got to know how hard to play, right?
You might be a real racer if you've ever started a sentence with, I'll show them.
Well, you know, I'm sure this is not something everybody knows about, but fairly recently in the past few years, there was a video of somebody driving an E30 in a champ car race. Mm-hmm. The guy's out there just passing people under yellow. I think he either hit a couple of people or really, you know, made passes where he inconvenienced people to where they had to go off track. And people were just, you know.
And there was support vehicles were on the track.
Yes. There's some, I don't know how, I couldn't even find this video myself these days, but there, that's one where if I'm talking about, Bill knows what I'm talking about. It was a pretty big deal. This guy was just out there. I certainly wouldn't want to ever find a video and link it to these show notes because I think the person was a sponsor of the series or something. It's not a series we usually talk about. But anyway, it was bad. This person typified the thing we're talking about, just out there, just bonsaiing everybody, like, get out of my way. I'm making this move. And you just can't race like that, especially in endurance racing, but you shouldn't do that in sprint racing either. Like, I mean, you still have to be cognizant of the fact that everybody has to pay their own bills for their stuff that happens in their car. And a lot of us have kids at home who want to see us at the end of the day, or at least probably a dog or somebody that likes you or somebody who wants to know you're okay. Right. Like, you just, even at the pro level, I don't think there's a reason to endanger anybody. You know, even if your paychecks are tied to this, you still can't be a dick and push somebody, you know, and hurt somebody's body, right?
You might be a real racer if you've ever even thought about aiming your car at another car to teach them something.
Yeah, I can't even put that. I don't have a frame of reference for that, for the kind of racing that we do. As far as like oval, you know, oval racing is a whole different world, but our kind of racing, road racing, I mean, you don't see much door banging, you know, even at the pro level, do you?
I personally, and I think we talked about it on an earlier podcast. Not sure if it came out yet. Ross Bentley had one of his Speed Secret weeklies. I think I forwarded it to you. Where he wanted to change the rule where the passing responsibility for completing the pass is on the passing car, and he wanted it to be both cars because contact sucks. Like, fixing a car is bad enough, but like having to do body work and really fix a car really sucks. And you know, he mentioned that some of the series that allow this are probably going to be losing drivers, and I would be one of those drivers, versus the series that preclude this and basically aim for zero tolerance. You know, Lemons does it by both cars are at fault, and Gridlife does it by it's not allowed. And that's the goal. Right. Now, whether they get to zero or not, the goal is still zero. And, you know, if you've got overlap, you have to leave room.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, contact sucks, people. I mean, it does. There's nothing
good about it. It does. And I mean, I just kind of just did like a little Rolodex flip in my mind. I'm just thinking of pro racing I've watched recently. And I haven't seen much in the last few years, but you know, I think back to there were a couple of instances where, you know, back in the IMSA days when they had those cars that were all sort of looked the same. Mm-hmm. The fast ones, the GTD cars, Daytona prototype. Daytona prototype days. You know, when they all kind of looked sort of the same, like weird alien shapes. But I remember there was one where like the Ruby Tuesday car was at Daytona, like, and they ended up kind of, mm-hmm. they sort of got sucked together and one guy's door got stuck open. I mean, none of that was safe, but you know, it made for good TV, but it screwed up both those guys' races and it messed their car. Not like those guys had to pay for the car or anything like that. And I remember another one at Laguna Seca where it was like the last lap and it was GT1 cars, whatever that was at the time. It was an American Le Mans series race, and it was like Jorg Bergmeister and Jan Magnussen, like maybe Corvette and Porsche. I think it's Corvette and Porsche, and they came off the last turn, and one of them swept right across the track and just slammed into the other one. It was like, whoa, what is that guy doing? I mean, it's not the norm. It's bad. You don't touch anybody's car. I can only think of a handful of times I've even seen the guys who, you know, whole reputation and livelihood is based on it. And our reputation and livelihood is not at the track. So think about that before you make a decision that's questionable from a safety standpoint and from a bodywork standpoint.
Yeah. And, you know, especially like a sprint race, it's a little bit more tolerable than an endurance race, but there's nobody that I need to pass in that much of a hurry in an endurance race that I need to force.
Yeah.
You know,
there is more of a sense of urgency and more of an accepted level of aggression in sprint racing. But those folks that kind of agree to that set of rules. I mean, watch it, you know, the race is really close and you don't have much time to get your shit done. You know what I mean? You've got 17 minutes in a NASCAR, whatever it is, you know, small amount of time. So you got to shoot your shot. Mm-hmm. It's a different set of considerations in sprint racing. And those guys buy more fenders.
Yeah.
That's fine, but it's fine, but it's not what most of us are talking about doing most of the time.
Nope. And you know, I do think that some of those series and some of those disciplines in racing are going to see dwindling numbers because, especially as you know, costs are a considerable amount of the concern of racing, and you know, this is like voluntarily increasing the cost by choice. And
I'll lose a spot. I don't care if it's a sprint race or an endurance race. I'll back out of the spot if I think someone's about to hit me. I mean, I'm not going to just stay stuck in it. I'm like, oh, I don't need it. I don't need it that bad. Whatever it is.
I've edited some of your diatribes about that when you did it. So I fully know you would. You know, we should have a Patreon for you unedited. That would be kind of fun.
He's always saying something, right?
That's right. You never know where this conversation's going.
He's got something to say.
That's right. Opinions, check.
Well, hey, you know, I think the upshot from this fairly loose fit episode about the gentleman dick driver versus the overachiever, I think the overall upshot is just, you know, don't act like a dick at the track. You know, you may be a jerk in real life, but you can't do that at the track. Because, you know, ultimately, behave like you got a mama.
Uh-huh.
And like you got a family and people that care about you and are going to be concerned with the way you act, you know. You got, and also in endurance racing, you got teammates who are going to shut you down if you're out there doing something that's too far out. But, you know, ultimately, if you can't get a handle on this, they're just not going to let you come anymore. You know, you step out on bad enough one or two times, one or two big enough ways, you're not coming back. But yeah, just don't even be there, because, you know, we want to have as many people out of the track with us as we can. And it's best to normalize yourself and figure out what's acceptable and what's not within the confines of what we're doing. But also, especially endurance racing is a cooperative effort. You know, it's a not everybody likes to hear the words collective, but that's what it is. We're all out there trying to stay alive.
It's one big team
going, you know? Yeah.
So yep. I think one of my favorite podcasts and one of my favorite titles to their podcast, Everyone Racers Podcast, which everybody should listen to. They had
E1R.
E1R. They had an episode with one of our friends, Shirtless Matt, who will eventually be on our podcast when he's not committing podultry on the E1R podcast. And the title.
Podultry.
That's right. So the title of his episode is Don't Be a Dick, Be a Dude.
Okay. And like the dude.
The dude, yeah.
I can do it.
So I don't know where I was going somewhere. I lost my path.
Well, you know, Bill, the dude abides. Let's just try to all dude it. Let's dude it out at the track. There's nothing that serious where you've got to be a jerk or endanger anybody else. And if you're unclear about that, and it's a weekend when I'm there, stop by and I will gently explain it to you.
Mm-hmm. Be gentle with me, Ben.
Always. I love to caress, you know. Who doesn't like being caressed, you know?
All right, well, this episode's over. We're going to stay for the Patreon version of this podcast.
We're going to start an OnlyFans with me just saying cuss words. It'll be an audio
episode ever.
Audio OnlyFans.
Audio only. Yeah, we'll have the icon for each episode will be like Ben's feet, you know, and then he'll just be cursing up a storm.
I'm into it. Whatever pays, right? Let's get some money coming in off this.
It's about time my feet earn me something. So
yeah, absolutely.
So if you have interest in the OnlyFans with Ben cursing and his feet, go right into Garage Heroes.
I'll tell you what, because you know, at the track, my feet only spend money. You know, they're either burning up brake pads or burning up gas. You know, yep. let's make some money off these things.
It's gotta do something for me for once.
I mean, somebody's got to have a fetish where they want to see extremely pale, size 11 and a half feet that are not well groomed. You know.
So we've learned several things during this podcast, and I think the thing that we learned the most is we should not be allowed to do podcasts unchaperoned anymore.
Yeah. This one was a very, it's a relaxed bit. You know, this is one for the true fans. This is one you really got to want to hear whatever we're talking about to still be listening to this at this point.
Exactly. So as we should say on every episode, we're sorry.
Sorry. Thanks for listening. If you're still around.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.